Hello everyone, welcome to this episode of You Deserve Fresh Lettuce. I am your co-host Rachel.
And I'm Jenny.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about which family comes first. The first family he had, or the new family,
the second family
he has. If you're not doing so already, please follow us across our social media platforms at YDFL Podcast. You can also listen to the show on your favorite podcast platform, including
YouTube,
Alexa, and you can watch it on YouTube.
Yes.
If you're one of the people listening in the 28 countries, oh my goodness,
you.
Welcome and thank you.
Bienvenidos.
Please jump into the comments section and join the conversation.
Join the party.
Let's go. All right. So listen, this is becoming like a thing.
Yeah, no, for sure. Because I think that there's so many marriages, divorces. This person married this person, now they got divorced. And like, now they have a second set of kids. And now there's this whole thing and there's a big old fight. For me, I know that we might have two different perspectives or thought processes regarding that. I do feel that the newest family kind of takes precedence on this. And the reason why I'm saying this is because that is the freshest thing in your face. Whatever happened in the past is kind of something that's past tense, even though I know you're still the father or the mother of those kids. And I'm not saying that you stop being a parent, but I do agree that, or I do feel that if you have a new family, a new wife, then that should be your main focus.
The priority. I think, you know, if you are already living, we need to speak to the ladies because that's who's watching us right now.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies. If you are wife number one, let's just start there.
Yeah.
If you are wife number one and you gave him 2 kids, 10 kids, I don't care how many kids, you're wife number one.
Yeah.
It ended for whatever reason. He's now with her.
Right.
Number two. Now they have kids and they're playing house. Okay.
Cool.
And you have needs, meaning like, oh my God, this broke, or oh my God, the kid's doing this, or oh my God, the kid's doing that. I understand the tendency to want to be reaching out to him and being like, well, you know, this and that, blah, 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 blah. You have to understand, yes, that's going to cause a lot of conflict in the new situation. So I feel like once he's moved on and he's married and he has kids and that whole thing, there needs to be a boundary. This is to wife number one. Listen, there does need to be a boundary. I don't care if he left you for her. I don't care if she came in and ruined your life or your marriage. I think at the end of the day, even for your own sanity and peace of mind, there should be a boundary there, okay?
Yeah.
And maybe the boundary is if it's in the evening, there's no need to be in the middle of the night messaging the dude.
Right.
Maybe it's something that simple.
Well, I mean, I think you could message the dude if, like, your kid is in the hospital and, like, that it's got to be so crazy, like...
Okay, so that's where that's where I disagree.
Yeah.
So I think that if you have kids together, that the dialogue can you have to know as a wife number two.
Yeah.
That if it has to do with the kids, that should be an open dialogue. You should be aware that that's an open communication. If she says, "Hey, he had a bad day at school today," maybe you should call him, talk to him, or her. "Hey, she's over here. Maybe, but do you mind picking her up from whatever?" At the end of the day, it's still a co-parent situation. He's not married to that woman, but if it's strictly about the kids. Because there are a lot of parents that can co-parent and just keep it about the kids, then you have to understand that's part of it. That woman doesn't need to just be feeling like she only has access to the father of her children once a month or once a week. You know what I mean?
I think there's obviously a time and place for everything.
Yes.
So I think that sometimes people will make excuses like, you know, do you happen to know what happened to Tommy's shoe? Because it looks like it ripped and we need to maybe get him a new pair of shoes. Like, do you really need to be every day talking about stupid things like that?
Yeah.
In my opinion, I feel like it depends. Like, what is the dynamic look like, right? Because sometimes some of the ex-wives are still so pissed and bitter. Like, let's just say that, you know, the second wife took, you know, your husband. No one takes your husband. Let's just say he decided to go with her, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, the first wife is calling, you know, him, and she knows that he has a whole family, and they're doing the whole family thing, and she's just calling over petty things. Do you happen to know what happened to his white shirt that I sent over last week because it's not there? And every day it's stupid things. I get it that you have to have an open communication and an open dialogue, but it shouldn't be over petty things.
Yeah.
It has to be over things that are more important. If you have a pretty good communication, probably there are certain weekends or weekdays that, you know, the kid goes with either or parent. So then, you know, dad can see if little Tommy's acting up, then he can kind of adjust the situation. So I don't know. Like, I know that there are people, for instance, like, I know someone particularly that they have adult-ass kids. And the ex-wife is calling the husband, acting like the kid that is not a kid. I think that he could be in his 26. His 20s
or something.
And, you know, when she's constantly calling him, like, he's 6 years old, calling the husband about it. And so I understand that they both, I mean, like we always say, and I say time and time again, one person never stops being a parent, whether that's a dad or a mom. Like,
yeah,
you're a parent till the day that you die or the kid dies.
It's definitely, but that's their different. But that's definitely their condition. So when you, if you're going to be wife number two and he has a previous wife and a kid, they have a connection for the rest of their life. Nothing you do or say is going to break that connection. If they don't have bad blood between them and they're cool with each other, their spouse is just going to lie to you and say he's not communicating with her. And yeah. So I think it's better for wife number two to accept she's a cool person. Like, listen, yeah, it's a cool person. They're talking
about
the kid.
I think, like,
or whatever.
Once the kid turns 18, the kid could make a decision to talk to the dad whenever
they
do. He wants.
Yeah.
Adult.
Yeah.
So if the kid, and I'm calling him a kid because they're not a kid.
It's just
their
child.
20s,
yeah.
Like, yes, you're always going to have that forever. You guys, that's mom and that's dad.
Yeah.
Period. But he's an adult. Like, let him do his thing. You don't need to be guiding him and calling the ex about the 20-something-year-old adult man.
Yeah.
I do feel that I understand there could be trouble and you want to make sure that your kid, you know, stays on the right track. But it's not to be calling, you know, the ex-husband constantly to be like, well, what are we going to do about this? Like, the guy's knocking on almost 30. Like,
yeah,
really? Like, I
yeah,
get it. When he was 15,
yeah,
you want to keep him on track, but not an excuse to be calling, you know, your ex for your grown-ass adult
yeah
child.
I think,
I don't know.
Well, so here's the thing. I think it depends, because I do have for myself, like, an adult child or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, like, the dialogue between his father and I is pretty open. It's not a free-for-all, meaning, like, I'm not on the phone with the guy all the time, whatever. And it's rarely ever about anything other than our son. And I can give you a devil's advocate view of that. So, for example, if you don't have bad blood, meaning wife number one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is to wife number two to understand how the dynamic works with wife number one. If they don't have bad blood and they have a child, they may be divorced. They're not talking about finances, romance. No. But when it comes to their son, that's for life. Like so many episodes we've done here where you've said and I've said, listen, we're in our 40s and we still call our parent, which is directly to the parent, okay?
Yeah.
But let me tell you what happens. Your parents together are still having a conversation about you guys. Like, if my dad was still here or whatever, my dad would still be concerned about me with this, or my mom would be concerned about me with that. And so the job never ends. I think that to be very realistic for the second wife to understand, that is a lifelong connection to wife number one. Now, I don't know what the scenario is of every little thing calling, because that doesn't make
sense. I think everything has to be within reason, right?
Yeah.
Everything has to be within reason,
yeah,
in my opinion.
If she's
obviously
making excuses to talk to the first husband as like a manipulative thing, then you're going to be able to spot that or whatever.
I think it's like what I just finished saying. Like, it's within reason. Like,
yeah,
like they're calling because they are concerned. And yeah, you never stop being a parent. And,
yeah.
And I've said that time and time again. I agree with that. But I do feel that, you know, if it's within reason, yes, let's call. Let's really sit down. Let's talk about what's happening, why it's happening.
Yeah.
But I think if you're just using that as an excuse to continue to be like, hey,
that's
did
true
you know, or the t-shirt and the this,
yeah,
and the shoes. And it can get a little bit frustrating, in my opinion. But I do feel that, obviously, you know, the husband is going to take priority over his new family, like the new wife, the new kids. Whatever that looks like, that is what's currently present in his life, and he's probably
yeah
going to prioritize that over, you know, whatever he had with you. And
yeah,
there, and that could be different for some people, because there could be people that are like, no,
I think it's
my
not
first
about
kids mean
I think
more
it's not about priority. So here's, I think, what we have to create a separation.
Right.
There's the women. There's woman number one and woman number two, and then there's the families, like the children.
Right.
And so at the end of the day, family number one has no priority over family number two. Number two has no priority over family number one, like, in my view, because of the children. And so what it ends up being is, what are the needs of the children? So wherever the father, right, is needed
mm-hmm
for the children, then that's where he goes. There is no, but I can't cause this or I can't cause that. Like I've seen it. Like, I know plenty of men. And they might lie to wife number one because she's too paranoid. I'm sorry. They might lie to wife number two
mm-hmm
because she's too insecure to handle the fact that he wants to go spend maybe a little extra time with wife number one's kids or whatever, the first family's kids. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm saying that is because I've seen it time and time again in my own family. Mm-hmm. And I look around and it's such a challenging dynamic that I'm glad we're doing this episode, because wife number two, if you're a woman and you're going to marry a man that was divorced and he has kids and an ex-wife, it's, you have to have a percentage of yourself that is secure, mm-hmm. secure in your relationship, secure in your headspace, man, because otherwise you're going to turn into a psycho woman and you're going to become more hassle than it's worth for him. I keep seeing, by the way, where the guy was so in love with wife number two, in love with wife number two, like thanking God that mm-hmm. he had a chance with wife number two, like, mm-hmm. oh my God, that God gave him this opportunity to find someone, all of that, right? And then she turns around on the insecure, nagging, why this, why that, competing with wife number one when she already won. And now the guy is like, ugh.
The thing is that obviously it's the way you win and won is the way that you're insecure about losing what you kind of won. That's true. You know what I mean? Think about it. If you meet someone authentically, genuinely, just like regular, like you're on, I don't know, you're at Starbucks, guy's there, cool, all right, he's divorced, you just happen to meet him, you didn't take him down. Yeah. Okay, there is no past, there's no bad blood, there's none of that. Then you're going to operate in a different sense. If you knew he was married and you took the dude down, then guess what? You are going to constantly be checking your back because you know how you got him. Then you know how you can possibly lose him. Yeah. So you're constantly going to be checking your back, like, Why is she calling? Why is she using the kids as an excuse? Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's because she knows how she did it. She knows that we don't know. Sometimes some women are vengeful. They're like, you think you won. Let me tell you, when you're not looking, this is what we're doing. You know, and some women are like, haha, now that's we hear this. We talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
Now the guy is cheating with the first wife.
Yeah.
And now, guess what?
The first wife turns into the side chick.
She ends up like, oh my gosh, get away. Get away. Can I see you? Yeah. Sneak away. And it's like, whatever they were doing, now these people are doing. And I think it just becomes more of like a challenge for the dude to be like, can I get away with this?
So what's the solution? Like, because the solution can't be, you better not freaking talk to her. Like, the solution has to be different. Like, what's the solution to that?
The solution is really easy. You know what the solution is?
What is it?
You have to trust the person.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And you want to know something? Unfortunately, that trust has to be built on a freaking thick-ass foundation. Yeah. And as it is, that foundation was like, no bueno, you're on a freaking hill. Guess what? Because you know how you got the guy, and you know how quick that could be a slippery slope.
That's true.
The only way that you can actually guarantee that, you know what, I know where he's at, how he operates, how he's going to move, because I know he's solid with me, is like to trust the guy. But, you know, the problem with that is that if you went in this way, look, 9 times out of 10, if you went in the wrong way, you're probably going to come out the wrong way too. Mm-hmm. Not saying for everybody, but I'm saying you're never going to trust the guy because you know how you got him. And so that's going to be the issue. So if she calls, you got to trust that he's handling business. I don't know, but for me, I do feel that my kids are getting to an age, and I know every circumstance is different, so I don't even want to compare myself to anybody, but I will say that my kids are getting to an age where they need to just deal with their dad. They're almost adults. I'll never stop being their parent. If they need me there, I'm going to be there, even if dad needs to be there, but there's no reason for me to be having daily dialogue about our kids. Like, they're fine. If they're fine, they're fine. I know that there's situations that are different. Like,
Because you guys are not on speaking terms. I think that, you know, you have a lot of people that try to do a lot of emotional work. And there's a lot of people that we're in a time where everyone's really trying to really unpack
their
BS. They're trying to be better people. And they're trying to evolve. And whatever it's called, emotional intelligence. They went to counseling. Guys are doing it too. And I think that, like, people are coming into a place of like, let's just put the BS aside.
And let's,
we got holidays coming up. We got all these kind of things. Let's make it great for our kids. And like, and I think if then that's what's happening with the exes, and then the new girl comes around and is like, no, because she's done zero work on her emotional intelligence, and like her freaking insecurity level, like you said, is through the roof because of whatever she did or however she's operated in the world leading up until there. then that makes it so difficult. And let me tell you, I'm going to give you a little tidbit here. You guys know I stay saying I worked with mostly men in my career. Now I'm shifting to mostly women, but it was mostly men. When I tell you the number of divorced men that still turn to their first wives for advice and everything, the new wife has no idea, by the way. Still, this isn't even my firsthand experience. This is me witnessing with the guys that the second wives have no idea that the man is going to the first wife and going, yeah, I just don't know what to do about her because she's doing this and this and blah, 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 blah.
I should have never left you.
And then guess what? And then on the flip side, I've been to lunches and brunches and dinners and with girlfriends who are the first wife. And they go, oh my God, he's calling and man complaining about her. And look at it. And I'm like, karma's like, you know what? Because now you're, see, I told you, I warned you about her. And it's almost like there's a little bond. It's almost like there's a different kind of bond in the BS. Now, I can't say all these people are sleeping with their first husband. I don't think so. I mean, maybe I'm not there.
I mean, there are the stories. Like, I knew someone personally during Christmas and Thanksgiving. They all would hang out. And then, you know, they would do the Thanksgiving. The new wife would come with the ex-husband with the wife. And they would all just be doing their thing. Yeah. I don't know if it changes, though, by the way, because these people just genuinely got divorced because they fell out of love.
Yeah, yeah.
As they say. This dude wasn't taken down by the girl.
Yeah.
And I think that there could be
a difference.
Something
there,
happens there. There's like bad blood that happens because you took him down. Now you don't trust her. And then she hates you for breaking up the family because that's kind of essentially what you did, right? And so there, as much as they want to be cool and say hi, good afternoon, like,
It's a competition there.
And then, but on top of that, there are the unspoken words that, you know, with even if you've done the emotional intelligence, you've done the work, you've gone to see therapists, like that still is the thing that you think about. And because we are vibrational beings,
yeah.
You see her, see you, and you know what you guys are both thinking about each other.
I think in that scenario, if you're dealing with if he left you and actually married that girl, which is very rare. If he left
and
actually,
not rare. I've seen it more often than not.
But
lately,
I think it depends on your social circles. But
maybe,
I think that
man,
like
I don't know what,
a lot of men have affairs and they don't marry that girl. You know what I mean? And that's hard enough, right? If you're in a situation
if you're
in a situation where you're wife number one,
right,
and then he had an affair and married that woman, this conversation's different for you. It's a very different situation because we understand that is bad blood all day, every
day.
And you might have, as wife number one, a different ulterior motive for communicating with that man. I don't want to muddy up that toxic freaking relationship advice with, like, all the other people who divorce for other reasons,
right,
or co-parenting. They can get along just fine. It's not a threat if they're communicating or whatever, because there's a lot of people in that boat. And yet there are these other people off to the side that they are talking about the mistress that he married. And now that's hard. And I know a few people in that situation that are wives number one, the girl number one. And yes, when he would come around when the kids were smaller, she was still making sure she slept with him when he came to check on the kids,
right,
or whatever.
Of course.
Because in her mind, she's sending him back to that other one,
yeah, like,
that did that to her.
It's what you did to me is,
yeah,
what I'm gonna do to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do feel within reason, even if you're talking about this little group, and then now we're talking about the group that decided that it didn't work out for whatever reason.
Yeah,
I understand. That's the group that we're talking about now. I do feel that within reason.
For sure. There's no reason to talk every day to your ex-husband. Like, there really isn't.
Yeah,
a reason,
I mean,
to do that.
And I get it. Like, there are rare occasions where we could all break bread during Thanksgiving, and there will be no smashed potatoes
going around the table. I think if you have, like, there's a lot of autism around, like, if you have a special needs, you know,
child.
Then you might want to have a conversation more regularly.
Yes.
I think if you have a child that gets into drugs and stuff like that, you're going to have conversations more regularly.
A little bit more, yeah.
And stuff like that, and especially as they become preteens and teens, they really need that enforcement of the father and stuff like that. The moms can do a lot up to a certain age. Psychologists will tell you this.
Yeah.
But once they hit about double digits and preteen, it's time for the father to really lean in, and it takes both parents to kind of say, okay, how are we going to...
What are we going
to
do?
What's the narrative here? What are we... You got to have some teamwork there. I know from my parents it was different. My mom couldn't stand my dad. My dad couldn't stand my mom. So there was zero communication, and I was just kind of floundering in the middle. You know what I mean? And so I know that every situation is very different, but I will say, if you're the new wife coming into it, before you even marry this dude, if you're going to be dating a guy that's divorced with children, have a conversation. So why did it end? Mm-hmm. So what does that look like now? You know, what would you ideally want to see? And if he says, it'd be nice if we could all get along and even do holidays together, you have to, like, accept kind of some of that as maybe being a goal or a reality. And you might not like it, though. You might go, I don't want to accept it. And then you can kind of keep it moving.
I think it's kind of funny that you're saying that, because I had a call this morning, and the call was really kind of funny because you know, this particular young child is under the weather, and so the husband's obviously in communication with the first wife, right? And he's sick, and so they don't really get along, but they talk, and so he then proceeds to say, "Hey, my wife can go ahead, I'm going to be at work, but my wife can make a pot of soup and drop it off for the son." And it was, I know, right?
So wife number one or wife number two?
Wife number two
can make a pot of soup for wife number one?
For the son that lives with wife number one.
Okay.
Okay, and she, like, changed her, like, according to the call, she changed her whole, like...
She was
pissed. Because it wasn't her. It was the kid that was sick. Okay. And so the wife number two was going to, the husband was offering wife number two to make a pot of soup. That would be chicken soup, albóndigas, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's like, oh, she cooks really good.
The motherly role.
The motherly role. She cooks really good, and she could bake these pots, and she'll drop it off for the son. And she, like, got kind of upset. So
wife number one got upset.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. I don't care. I consider myself a very nice person. That ain't that. You can just leave it in the trash.
You can leave it in the porch and guess who's going to eat it? Stray dogs.
And in that situation, that doesn't even make sense. The kid has a mother.
But the point that I'm trying to make here is, even though you have communication, sometimes the guy's trying to make it a point like, look, my wife now is domestic. Is she going to make a big old pot of soup? Is she going to rub it off at your fork? You know?
Man.
And they don't get along like that, by the way. And so, like, at least the wives are cool. They're chill.
Like respectful.
Cordial,
or
respectful.
Yeah.
But not to that degree, right?
They're not braiding each other's hair.
I was kind of listening to it, and I was like, how did I feel about that?
I think guys are just oblivious sometimes. Like, they don't.
I think he did this one intentionally.
You do?
Though. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Oh,
and then
man.
I was like,
that ain't it, guys. And you're one of the Fab 15 men listening. Listen, don't pit them against each other, and don't do.
But that happens.
Even to try to be
so
like a,
much.
I know the
like,
men actually. By the way,
they love doing.
Not
that.
All of them, but I've seen a few that they seem to really like it. Like, they seem to like the jealousy.
We've talked about this. Like, oh my gosh, you know, during the holidays, she would make this, I don't know, atole. Like, the girls, like, say, what'd you say about my mama?
Yes.
What in the world? You know, unless you're Latin, you would know what atole is.
Yes.
And then, you know, she's, like, trying to do the Pinterest thing and be like, oh, I'm going to make the best.
I'm going to make the best atole. The atole. The atole. Oh, my God. Baby, I made you atole.
And so a lot of the time I've heard that before. It's like, oh, she used to be such a good cook. She used to be so, or
they say, I hate when she used to do this.
Yeah,
I hate when she would
cook.
Like. Yeah.
According to this conversation, she was negative domestic and didn't know how to cook. So of course he's messaging like, my wife is, you know, she makes really good blah, blah, blah. She could drop it off, you know, to my son to make sure he's okay. And of course it was like crickets. And so I think it just depends on the dynamic. And sometimes the guys will either talk about how domestic the first wife is and was to just like get her to step up her game, the second wife, or vice versa.
Oh yeah.
Or vice versa.
There
is
men that are so manipulative and they pit women against each other. I often ask myself the question of, because I've dated guys after my divorce that were never been married, never had kids, and also that they were divorced with no kids, and also divorcing with kids, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, and I've always asked myself this, if they were married and then got divorced and they had a good relationship, would I be comfortable with that? Because it's so easy when you're dating someone that's never been married, never had kids, the red flag becomes, is he a very selfish person? Is he going to be able to sort of compromise and share his life with someone? Because a lot of times they can't. They have their habits, right? But then you get with someone that they were with this other woman for 20 whatever years. Like, woman is home. Like it or not, that woman is home base.
Sweet home.
That is home sweet home, no matter what you do as wife number two. And so then it's the idea of like, huh. Because I know I didn't step with my ex. Like, I refused to be the side chick to my ex-husband. Like, I refused, right? But I understand a lot of women are lonely. They're sad. They're willing to go, oh my God, I don't know what to do without you. Or like, I don't, like, you know, and they revert to this whole, like, let's just roll it out in bed or whatever. I understand, and I don't know how I feel. I'm not sure.
Could you imagine? Because, like, sometimes the girl is begging him back.
Yes.
And so, you know,
or they like to fight. Let me see. To me, the biggest red flags that I see, the ones that like to fight with each other, that friction can turn into sexual energy very quickly. So don't be fooled by the fact that, like, well, they fight all the time. They don't even get along.
Okay.
There's a lot of freaking energy being put there.
You know, Cardi B sees it best, says it best. What does she say? Like, when you fight hard, you... Like,
F-hard. Yeah. So, I don't know. So, it becomes a challenge. I think, ladies, if you are wife number one, be accepting of the fact that he's moved on. It doesn't mean he's a stranger. You're going to be connected to him for the rest of your life, and you do have the right to have a healthy relationship with that person forever until you're an old lady and your kids are whatever. Like, it just is. You have the right to even be around your ex-husband with your kids there. You have a right to, like, let his wife be around and all that.
Yeah.
You just have to accept that it's just what it is, okay? But to what extent, I think all parties need to be on the same page.
I mean, look, here's the thing. At the end of the day, if we really break this down and we pull the onions back, it's like, what is each person's intention?
I know.
Is it malice? Is it because you want to take him down because now you want to prove a point? Is it, you know, is it like you want to be the one to give him karma or give her karma? Because sometimes that happens. And I think, like, if you can just know that, hey, you're going to trust, because that's another thing. Like, if you don't trust him, then that's going to, no matter what, it's always going to show up, right?
True.
It's like oil and vinegar.
And I think a lot of women want to see that the wife, number one, got remarried and moved on. And I think it helps them a little bit. But it doesn't prevent him and her from having these conversations when they're at work, because I've seen it 100 times. It's like so crazy. Wife number one is almost always the therapist still. So you might want to just, wife number two, outline some boundaries, like some deal breakers to go, you know, these are non-negotiables. Like I want you to have a relationship with her. I don't want you to be a toxic mother effer. I don't want you to treat her like your enemy, like you're the father of her kids and like whatever, whatever. But at the end of the day, if these are the non-negotiables, you know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't be the shoulder for her to cry on.
Right.
You shouldn't be the one to go fix the leaky faucet, you know, send her the number to a plumber or whatever, or send one of your guys over or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be thinking of these scenarios if she hasn't gotten remarried yet. And then number two, if she has gotten remarried, then it's a non-issue because she has a man. There's a lot of things she doesn't need to call your man, her ex-man for.
Well, maybe she wants someone to lay down a pipe. Plumber.
She's like, I like my old plumber versus my new plumber. Okay. So I think that what happens is that the new girls come into the picture. They're competing against the ghost of Christmas past.
Yeah.
And then there's this competition already in their head that maybe wife number one isn't even in. She ain't even trying to do none of that.
She doesn't even care.
So you have to just get the assessment. Meet wife number one. You know, like, do you have a cool dynamic? Maybe you two communicate about the kids. You know what I mean? Maybe the wife number one can say, hey, Jenny, Lee, or whatever, I'm curious, did Bobby take his whatever, blah, blah, blah. Maybe that's the route to go, and that'll make you feel more comfortable.
I knew a couple that the second wife was so vindictive. At least that's the way the family painted it out to be. She would sign the check for her child support, and it would be under her name, and she'd sign it. Every child support check was signed by her, like, for your child support. Like, on the memo, for your child support. Like, bitch, I'm paying for it. Like, I'm the wife. And I remember that the family had an issue with this. It was like a very, like, it was a petty thing, in my opinion. Like, they were like, why does she have to sign the check? And the whole family had this whole, like, meltdown over her signing the damn check. I'm like, look, she's cashing it whoever signs it, yeah, it can like, be freaking.
That's actually worse. That's actually like, that's right. You gotta pay me. Like
bitch.
Like, that's right. You don't get to keep all the money. Like, what? Yeah.
But everybody had an issue with that. But at the end of the day, look, we're not saying how you should or shouldn't move. Yeah. I think that trust is really important in anything that you do, whether it's a business partnership, a relationship,
yep,
whatever it is, there's got to be trust. If you don't trust the person and you think that they're going to slide you and you got to watch your back, that's not a way to live, because, you know, you're going to be freaking frantically looking behind your back thinking like someone's going to do you bad or
dirty. And I'm going to give you a little scenario before we leave, because I want to show that, like, we understand that it could be very difficult. I had a conversation with a woman that I was pretty close to.
Yeah.
And the man that she was with, who I really adored, he left her for another woman. This person was actually in her family. Left her for another woman, had kids in the whole nine. And the biggest thing was the revelation, because I sat with her and I was like, what really bugs you about this? Because you knew he was a player. You knew that this is how he kept moved. It sucked stuff. That he chose who he chose, but this is how he's been moving. So what is making it so hard 2 years later, or whatever it is, you know, to like really
move on
or let go or whatever? And she basically said it's because she wouldn't let him see the kids around her. Mm-hmm. So it was this thing, wife number one, let's just say, was like, no, you're not taking my kids to her, to be with her. Like, you're not taking my kids to Disneyland with her. And so that was something that I was trying to convince her otherwise. In other words, because I wanted him to be with his kids and I wanted the kids to be with him, because the kids were really struggling at this point. And so when I kind of got to the bottom of it, she said, you know, at the end of the day, I already lost him to her. I don't want to like lose my family to her too. Mm-hmm. And I just want to share that, because it's really difficult. Like, I'm not in those shoes. And instantly I realized, I don't know what that would be like to sit there on social media watching the girl that took my man away post with my kids at Disneyland and, you know, their new kids and blah, blah, blah. So it makes it really hard.
I mean,
hard.
I could see how that'd be hard. But I do see that, obviously, you know, without being rude, there's a level of selfishness, obviously, to have that thought process.
Yes.
And yes. So at the end of the day, I think there's nothing better than to really understand that, hey, you know, he's no longer with you, and you take your losses and you wipe yourself off and you say, you know what, at least she's freaking pretty awesome to my kids.
Yeah.
Like, if anything else, at least it's that, versus just being like, I've lost everything. Like, you didn't lose
everything.
That's what I'm saying. And so
yeah.
I think that I get it. I understand it. However, I think that there is a small little level of selfishness in her, because I think that at the end of the day, like, I don't care what you think about me, but treat my kids right.
Right, exactly.
Be right to my kids. Because at the end of the day, you can smile and we can break bread, but if you're not treating my kids right, don't break bread with me.
Exactly.
Right? And so I think that's really important. And I think that if we can separate ourselves and count our losses and say, hey, you know what, at the end of the day, though, she's super cool with my kids and she treats them well. So I got to be very gracious for that.
Especially for the kids to have a bond with their parent. And I think that also the parents need to kind of get out of the way. Like, so I feel like the new spouse needs to get a little bit out of the way of how the person is operating with their kids from the other relationship. You got to get a little bit out of the way of that. Like,
well,
they're getting in the way.
Into the state of gratitude, right?
Yes.
Rather than getting in a state of being the victim, because, you know, essentially that sucks. It's got to suck.
Yeah.
I'm not in that situation, so it's easy for me to speak on it. But I will say that instead of being a victim, be gracious. Hey, this person is freaking awesome with my kids, though. Like, they go to Disneyland. She's really cool. She makes sure that my kids are fed. Damn, thank you.
But you have to remember this. So, like, stories come out, right? Because here's what happens. The husband is with wife number two, taking drama stories back to wife number one.
Mm-hmm.
So you got wife number one sitting there going, I don't want my kids over there playing house with them because it makes me feel like I lost my family.
Yeah.
Then you got wife number two saying, I don't want him to leave here and go spend all this time with, you know, with his sons. They're going to go to the lake and they're going to be on the sea-doos all day. And like, I don't understand why I can't go with him.
Mm.
You know, and it's just like back and forth, because why? Wife number one's like, you could be with my boys, but I don't want her around.
Mm-hmm.
Wife number two is like, I don't want him to be with his boys unless I'm around. So it's almost like, ladies, we need to just not get in the way of parents being parents, but set the boundaries and figure out what the non-negotiables are at the end of the day. And if you're wife number two, you don't got to be there for every little thing that he's doing with his kids. And if you're wife number one and he moved on, you got to let your kids experience the new stage that their dad's life is in.
Exactly.
It's going to take that compromise.
It's going to take a little bit of time.
Yeah.
But, you know, just be respectful. Trust and be respectful.
And if you're looking and you're dating a guy that's divorced with kids, that's for life. That woman is going to be in the picture for life. For life. For better or worse. They may not even get along.
That sounds like a bad telenovela.
Oh, man, I'm going to flip my hair around. You're going to do life with her. It's him, you, your kids, and
them. Oh, man. I think I'm just going to stay where I'm at. But we're not doing life with nobody.
And if you disagree, we want to hear about it in the comments.
We definitely do.
All right, guys. Well, we will see you next week. And remember that you deserve fresh lettuce. Cheers.